believes it has all the answers. It shouts them at you from every corner. Do this. Do that. It's never done. The word of the cross might be folly to them, but to you, who know that doing this and doing that cannot save, the blood of Jesus is more than enough. The cross is the power of God for salvation to you through this faith, which is preached. You're listening to Oratio, your daily dose of prayer, meditation, and growth here on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and this morning, Psalm 144 was part of our prayer life together. It's near the end of the Psalm, Psalter, not one I know quite as much about, but it's a powerful set of words about the passing nature of the present age. It seems so real, doesn't it? I mean, it is real. It's you walk out on the street and there's a car coming. It's real. But that's not really what I'm talking about when I say it seems so real. I'm talking about the world's pretension to thinking it is the thing that matters. The world's pretension to mattering so very much. As if somehow it all were up to us to be, right? Just to exist, as if my existence were in my own hands. The psalmist in Psalm 144, he asks a better question than the common one. You know, what can I do for God? He says the other way around, you know, what am I that you would be my God at all? Oh Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? A refrain from earlier in the Psalter as well. The recognition that the frailty, the mortality of man is a stunning thing, and doubly so. I mean, think of perfect man, and still, what is he but dust? He's a mud man. We're made of the dirt. But now, with our sin, with our wretchedness piled upon us, what are we to the holy, holy and most gracious, just God? We're a breath. Our days pass like a shadow. Now, I know we put on a good show. We really try to pretend it is not so. You spend any amount of time talking to somebody who's nearing death, and one of the things they'll admit is, man, it went fast. It went fast. Where did it go? How did I lose the days? We're a breath. Gone, right? Generation after generation. And compared to our Lord's eternal existence, what are we to him? And yet, because of the relationship, because of the identity which the psalmist here has been given by God. Now, we know Old Testament style, in circumcision, unto the covenant of salvation, now for you and I, through baptism, the promise that we are in the covenant of salvation. The psalmist, admitting his own frailty, admitting his own weakness, his complete lack of power, nonetheless is fearless to call upon the Lord to defend him. Because he's calling on the Lord not just to defend him, but to defend his covenant, to defend his promises, to defend his very name as holy, gracious, and good. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. It's got to call to mind our Lord's descent on Mount Sinai, right? The clouds and the darkness and the lightning crashes, all so that he might inscribe on stone the future of mankind. We call them the Ten Commandments, but you can also hear them as the ten realities of what life is going to be like when Jesus comes back, and you're included in that mix by blood. And yet here, there's going to be, and there's very clearly a hearkening to that, a hunger that would return, that this present God, who is actively doing things for the faith of the psalmist would come back. And there's certainly a connection here to the kingdom of David. It may not be David himself, but a faithful king later who is saying, will you fight for our armies to defend not me, not us, not our flesh, not this age, but the covenant. Stretch out your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now, by foreigner here, you got to hear it not as an ethnicity, not as somebody from a different country, but as a false teacher, which is anybody who confesses falsely, right? Not just someone who sets themselves up and says, I'm a teacher, but anybody who comes bearing a half-truth, speaking self-justification, speaking salvation by works, speaking trust in me. Deliver me from this, right? Come down as you did at Sinai. Rout the enemy, the armies of the devil. Take away the lies. Take away the things that would teach me to trust in the debater and the scholar of this age more than I trust in the living words from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And the result of this, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, you who give victory to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the cruel sword. Right? So the result is faith. Lord, I'm praying on the basis of faith. I don't understand why you have saved me. What am I to you? But I know that you have, so please continue to do so. Do not abandon me in my wretched state, but instead, deliver me by your word of truth, and I will confess your name. I will speak of who you are. Put your word in my heart, and it will come back out again, for you are the God who put David on his throne and gave victory to him, and you have said, I am one with his covenant. More so, you are the God who put Jesus in the grave and said, that's my grave, but you're taking it from me. And you brought him out alive on the other side again, and you told me through baptism, I am part of that covenant, this resurrected man. Dear Lord, what a God. He is so good, merciful, abounding in steadfast love, that keseth, that unyielding fidelity, that unstoppable mercy. The wisdom of Solomon that is also here for our meditation this morning with just a few moments left is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 28, one that turns a corner similar to the one I just turned in talking to you pretty quick, moves a new direction, and it really doesn't really fit with what came, I mean, not evidently, what came before, which was this fear of the Lord being everything, right? That the faith in God's word is life, the main idea that was in the previous two Psalms, or Proverbs. But here, verse 28, it says, in a multitude of people is the glory of a king. But without people, a prince is ruined. Now, to be fair to the Proverb chapter, this chapter has been filled with themes that repeat each other or connect to each other, but it seems now toward the end of the chapter that's going away a little bit. At least here we got a few that are just kind of piled on each other. So I'm not going to try to connect this to the past too much. But it's pretty evident on the surface here, horizontally speaking, worldly speaking, you know, what good is a king without people? What good is a prince without people? What does he do? Who does he rule? I was listening this morning to, on the way into the studio, to a book about debt, and I won't get into it in depth here, but it was talking about this count during the age of Luther, who was so in debt that he kept killing his subjects to basically take their stuff. And one of the other, you know, dukes in the area wrote him a letter and said, you know, once you've killed them all, who then will you rule? Right. And so what's going on here is the recognition that the glory of a king, the glory of authority, and this is a fourth commandment thing, the glory of authority is for the sake of the one who is under. That a king's true purpose is not to serve himself, but to serve those whom he rules by ruling them well, for their good, unto their best end. Now, of course, where does this really hit the road? It hits the road in the fact that you and I are citizens of not just the United States of America, but of two kingdoms. And that the greater of these is a true kingdom, a monarchy, a despotism even, but a good one. One in which our Lord Jesus Christ, crowned with thorns and crowned with eternity, is reigning all things for your good. That's his glory. Not to take, not to need, not to ask for, but to be the one who ever gives. When Jesus says it's better to give than to receive, he's not talking about what you're supposed to do first. He's defining who he really is. You're listening to Oratio on Worldwide KFUO. Sharper Iron is coming up next. Stick around.